Reboot yourself. Physically, take care of yourself. Get away. A retreat, yeah, get away. Tell your husband, tell your family, I'm going away. Please. Close your work, go away. By the time you come back, you are rebooted, you are fresh, you are ready to go. Can I hear amen? Because in this country, it's non-stop. Totally non-stop. Is it not time to put a break? I say, no. Because if you continue, they continue. Life is more valuable than money. If you don't take care of it, it will end early. I'm telling you. So retreat is very, very good. It's very, very good. Yeah, I mean, take advantage of it and get out. Go. Take your children. Teach your children. Take all those girls that are your daughters and they call them. Let me go. Come. Everybody, leave. Come. Let's go. Because there's a lot to benefit from that. Apart from the spiritual thing, there is the mental thing. There is the physical thing. If you agree with me, say amen. And number two is, I want to appeal to us, please. Take the word of God very seriously. One of the ways that God solves your problem is through his word. In fact, that's the major way he solves your problem. You see, you don't control the move of the anointing. But you can control what you can believe and what you can believe. One major way God will heal you, God will deliver you, God will make change your life, turn it around, is by his word. The scripture says he sent his word and what? Healed them and did what? Delivered them. But that's what people don't want and not really interested in because it's not noisy. Because you don't fall down, scatter chairs. Because nobody gives you prophecy and all those things. But the Holy Spirit told us that the word of God is greater than all those prophecies and things. If you're a Christian and you haven't learned the importance of the word of God, you will not grow spiritually. I don't care. You can be a senior pastor, or you can be carnal. And you won't have too much victory in your life. It's very important that we give the word of God first place. God himself exalted his word above what? His name. Even God himself. Even God himself. And understand that even if you get a miracle by prayer or whatever, I want you to listen to me. You must keep it. And nobody will keep it for you except you. Because the devil will come back. That's what many Christians, they are surprised that they get testimony, God healed you, they are surprised the sickness comes back. It usually will come back. I'm not trying to frighten you, I'm telling the truth. The devil will try to what? Come back. And about that time, if you don't have the word to resist him with your faith, you will be vulnerable to him. You'll be more confused than when you started. I just had a terrific testimony of a sister that had brain cancer. The thing left and came back. And when it came back with a vengeance to the point that to walk was trouble. And then the doctors were confused. They were having conference upon conference. They didn't know what to do. And I told her, I said, leave doctors alone. They are paid to be doctors. Let them be meeting there. I said, the devil is confusing them. I said, let me tell you the important thing. The doctors don't decide what happens to you. I said, you and I and the church will decide it. I said, they speak because they belong to the world. The Bible said, that's the spirit of error. He said, but we speak according to the word of God. That's the spirit of truth. I said, whatever we disallow is what? They said, if we operate on you, you'll be blamed the rest of your life. I said, it's a lie. I said, that's the devil talking. Don't agree with it. To the point that the doctors were afraid even to do anything. But we got together. This is the importance of the word. I was sharing this word with this person regularly. We got together, about three of us. I said, we decide what happens, not them. I said, because we reign on earth. I said, that's authority God gave his children. What things ever you disallow? I said, we decide. So I said, what do you want? Tell me what you want. He said, Pastor, I want the surgery, but I won't be paralyzed. I said, that's it. That's it. So we held hands and said, Lord, you are our doctor. You never told us that Dr. James or John is our healer. You say you are our healer. So you do this surgery yourself. And there won't be paralysis, nothing. My sisters, 2 days ago, they persuaded the doctor to do the surgery. He was afraid. He did the surgery. After the surgery, our sister was talking and moving around. I haven't finished because I just got off the phone with her. He said, all the doctors are surprised, confused. They don't know what happened. They can't explain it medically. He's being discharged tomorrow. Going home tomorrow. And how did God solve that problem? His word. Gave us this Bible you carry. This Bible you carry. His word. Gave us. He showed us in the Bible that these doctors don't decide. You decide. And we decided, and he showed us, I'm the God that healed. They are not the surgeon. I am the surgeon. I'm your doctor. I will do it myself. Yeah. And I told the children, I said, have you people seen that God is real? Because they were falling. You don't even have the story because it was a situation of despair and hopelessness. And I told them, I said, that day they do this story, the whole world will see that's God in heaven. I said, this word is yea and amen. If God says it, that's what it does. You don't even have to think twice. That's what it does. And God did it. So I've been dancing. I was talking, I said, he said, Pastor, go to the women's conference. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. I said, I will see you after the conference. He said, Pastor, don't worry. Concentrate. I said, what is the paralysis? He said, it's nowhere to be found. That's why you must give attention to the word of God. I'm pleading with you. Don't toy with it. If you start toying with it, you get confused. When things hit you like this, you get totally thrown off balance. Get confused. You start saying things that hurt you. Start looking for somebody to see vision for you. Tell you prophecy. You don't need all of that. You know, Pastor Tunde is in the air now. He told us of a story. Lord, why am I telling this thing? He told us, are you being blessed? He told us a story which I told the church yesterday. How it was in the Oedipus church. The man was teaching wonderful teaching that he was listening to. The woman beside him was sleeping all through the teaching. The moment they say, bring your bottle of oil to pray for, the woman woke up and brought 7 bottles. And he said to Pastor, where is your bottle? Pastor said, I don't need that. He said, no. Open your hand. Let me pause more. How can you know me? He slept through all the time the word of God was being taught. But when he came to oil, he woke up. How does she live? The Bible says we live by every word that what? This, the very thing that will give her the life that God promised her, she was sleeping through it. Thinks she saw you. Thinks she saw you. Many people come to Christian gathering like this. They are going to look for, to see what that man will do. The man can do nothing. If you are coming to see what I can't do nothing. My family, I'm hungry. I want to go home and eat. I can do nothing. I'm not your healer. Because, and if you are praying for them, they think you have some special power to do all. Jesus is the power of God. From beginning, we're mere vessels. And if you don't believe through his word, even if they lay hands on it 100 times, they won't work. And if it works, even if you get your miracle, how about keeping it? That's why the trouble happens. Let me show you back in the scripture. Luke 11:24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walked through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. See, he gone out of a man, seeking rest and finding none. He said, I will return. You see what he said? I will what? Return to my house from which came. I'm going back there. This is Jesus teaching us now. And when he comes, he finds he swept. It's okay now. Every miracle has happened. And put in order. But what does he do? Then he goes and takes with him how many? Seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now, this is where if you don't have the word to build your faith, when they come with seven, you don't have the faith to resist them. Because you resist with your faith, and faith comes through the word. You can't toy with the word of God. You can't. That's what you live, right? That's what how you survive. But that's what the devil will deceive a lot of Christians. They won't think it's important. They are waiting for the anointing, the man of God, to do miracles for them. Even this weekend, you know, you can receive a word that can turn your life around. Just one. So the theme of our conference is Romans 8:5. Let's go there and talk about it. Romans 8:5. If you have been blessed, shout hallelujah. Now you have to listen. With all this explanation, you have to listen. Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it cannot it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So the Bible tells us exactly that being the carnal mind and the spiritual mind is a mindset. It defines carnal mind as setting your mind on things of the flesh, things you can see, things you can feel, things of the flesh. And spiritual mindedness is setting your mind on things of the spirit, things you cannot see. The carnal means the physical realm, physical senses, things that are seen rather than things that are spiritual realities, the unseen spiritual realities. Carnal people only believe what they can see and what they can feel. If they come for a conference like this, for to them, the anointing is moving, only the chairs are falling over. They walk by sight. The word of God is not sufficient for them. They need, you know, God is amazing. He asked one man one thing. He said, is my word not sufficient for you? He said, is my word what? He said, what else are you looking? If God tells you something, say, shouldn't that be enough for you? But the carnal mind, no, it's not enough. He wants something he can see, something he can feel, you know, something that has to be added, something. Pastor Chinidu has to tell me about tomorrow. You don't need to know about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be fine. Because he lives, you can face. So why do you want to know? Tomorrow will be fine. What will happen tomorrow is exactly what God told you will happen. This is the day the Lord... You know, that word day doesn't mean really a specific day. It means season. You're living a season God has made for you. The season of grace. That's what it means. So kind of people, you know, unless they have good... When they pray, if they don't feel something, they think God didn't answer. And especially when things go bad, they say God didn't. They go by feeling. Go by, you know. And you need to really win yourself out of that. You know? So, and they are very ritualistic. They like rituals. Just praying and saying in Jesus' name is not enough. There has to. Let me show you something. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 9. 2 Kings 5, 9. So you see this carnal mindedness, how it operates. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be what? Restored to you, and you shall be what? Clean. And God says to you, if you ask me anything according to my will, I will what? Answer you. But no, the same thing, the same way this word was given, that's the way God has told you a lot of things. But Naaman became furious and went away saying, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me now and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place. Then there he will look like, and then heal the lepers. Say, how can just go and wash? This is modern day Christians. This is us. You prayed in Jesus' name, that's not enough. You want somebody to come and wave his hand, you know, anoint you with oil, lay hands on you, do this one, do this one. He said, I said to myself, he will surely, which means he has made up his mind how this thing will happen. He will surely now come out to me and stand and call on that name of his God now, and then wave his hand anointed over the place and hear me. So he was not satisfied with simple word that was given to him. That's carnal-minded people. Go by feeling, go by rituals. And let me warn you, listen to me very good. If you do these ritual things, you'll be contacting demons. They might do miracles for you, but they will exact a price later. And the day they want to exact that price, you won't survive it. I'm not kidding you. Might look okay, share the miracle, go your way. Watch 1 year down the line. The devil is wicked and bad. He doesn't give any free meal. Praise the Lord. The only way you contact the power of God is faith in Christ alone, nothing else. The only way, I told somebody, I said, even the Holy Communion can be ritualistic. You can put your faith in that Holy Communion process. But the Holy Communion is not Jesus. It's only something you do to remind you of who? Christ. So, carnal-mindedness is relying on natural things, physical things, what to see, what to feel, and all of that, instead of relying on God, the unseen God, and his word. Spiritual minded people, they set their mind on God, on Jesus, and his word. His word is enough for them. Why? Isn't the word of God spirit and life? They live by it now. They don't need any other thing. Look at what Paul said in Philippians 3:3. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. All that feeling and things doesn't tell us anything. We trust what God has done. God has done incredible things for us in Christ Jesus' church. A lot. Everything Jesus achieved for you and for me is spiritual. But it works finally in the physical. Everything. For instance, when you are born again, did you see the new man? Huh? But it's real. Everything Jesus, let me repeat it here. If you are not spiritually minded, you would take the cross for a joke, even though you go to church. You won't make your boast in it like Paul did. Everything Jesus did for you and me is spiritual, but it is real and it is powerful. When you were born again, you were truly born again. You became a new creature, and all things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. This is what Jesus did for us. And it is real and it is true. Again, you have to rely on that. That's being spiritually minded, believing the spiritual things, the things in the realm of the spirit. Then that's why faith is important. Walking by faith is being spiritually minded, because faith is substance of things, not sin. If you are sleeping, shout hallelujah. That's the thing about your conference, because you people eat in the evening. And after eating in the evening, that's why I said, let me start preaching now. Because if you eat a lot of rice, in the next 1 hour, you'll be snoring. Praise the Lord. But you're not going to sleep. You are not going to sleep. Did you eat rice? What did you eat? Make plan this thing. Clap for yourselves. That's amazing. So everything that Jesus did for us is spiritual. Tell your neighbor what I said. The healing is spiritual. Everything. His presence in you is spiritual. Do you see him? But he told you the greater one is what? You. And there's a power that walketh in. Do you see it? No. Everything he did for you, you cannot relate with it if you are carnally minded. You're not going to relate with it. Because it is totally spiritual reality and spiritual truth. Very, very true. Faith, substance of things, not sin. And the only way you can know that is the Holy Spirit revealing it to you. If you want to know, he will show you. But if you don't want to know, you're not interested in knowing. You're not interested in knowing Jesus. You only want a man thing, somebody lay hands on you, and while you shout, fire, 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 he will leave you alone. Because if you thirst, you'll be filled. But if you don't, whoever drinks water when it's not thirsty. It's only when you're thirsty now, you go drink water. Am I right? God will leave you alone. If you're going to church, it's all you want to. Go to church, you go home. Go to fellowship, you go home. You know, he will leave you alone. Be doing it now. But when the taste comes, you'll find you are empty. You will really find that you are. The Bible says if you fall in the door of adversity, your strength is small. Very small. I was saying yesterday that the proof of spiritual maturity is not title, it's not senior pastor, it's not anything. It starts with controlling of. That's how you know a spiritual person. A lot of people gossip all over the people, they are carnal people, they're not mature at all. When a spiritual person talks, he talks under the anointing. He doesn't talk anyhow. He might joke with you, I'm cracking jokes, but he knows his boundaries. Because it's controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's not controlled by emotions. It's controlled by the love of God. He sees what others don't see. He sees what others don't see. Praise the Lord. So it's the Holy Spirit that reveals this thing to us so that we are not carnal minded. So that's why faith comes by hearing. And let's read Romans 10, 17. New Living Translation. So faith comes by hearing what is told and what is heard. So faith comes by hearing, that is hearing the good news about who? Because it, listen to me, read good. It is what Jesus did for you that is the foundation of your faith. You don't have any other thing to believe except what Jesus did for you. Let me say it again. You don't have any other thing to believe except what God gave you through Christ. That's what is the foundation of, that's the faith. That's what you should believe. Because God gave you all those things so that you can overcome the world. He gave you all those things so that you live in an exalted place of glory, seated with Christ above in heavenly. That's why he gave you those things. And let me tell you, church, the world has nothing that can take on what God gave you. Nothing. It doesn't exist anywhere. I don't care what that thing is. What God gave you, the world has nothing to handle it. Oh my God, you don't understand. The Christian is indestructible. Did you read the Bible? The Bible said that God wants to show this principalities and powers his wisdom. So he made Christian to be like him and sent you among the wolves so that the wolves will see they can't destroy you. If you got that one, shout hallelujah. He said, go among the wolves. Yeah, sheep, go. But when you go as a sheep, he already came and told you, don't worry about them. No weapon formed. all the wolves will be like, oh, 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 oh. They can't touch you. Why? See the power of the blood they gave you. He told you, when I see the blood, you're already insured. I'm telling you, the world cannot handle church. The world, no power can handle you if you know what Jesus died to equip you with. Those are the things that make you live in a realm that's not normal, it's not natural, it's called peculiar. That's why we could sit in the bedroom and decide what will happen, the surgery. We are the best doctor. This hospital I'm talking is one of the best in America. 30 doctors will help conference. They were having conference upon conference. Confused. And they told me, Pastor, they are confused. I said, what else do you expect? I said, the devil is confusing them. But we are not confused. So we seated with the Word and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and had a conference. And I said to them, I said, this is where the power is. Whatever two or three, I said, this is where the power is. I said, we reign, we're in charge. They are not in charge. I said, because when we decide here, the kingdom says, amen. What God gave you, let me repeat it. Through Jesus on the cross, no native dog, not even the devil, no power on earth. I don't care what that thing is, can handle you. God equipped you so much so that he will show forth his glory. That's why he says, your faith comes by hearing the good news. It's God's good news now. The solution is giving you something that the world cannot handle. That's why it's good news. But we don't teach it in the church. We don't tell people this. We can talk all the things that don't work much. And the Holy Spirit said that in Ephesians, he said, I've done this so that in ages to come, you will teach them about my grace and what I gave them. He said, in ages to come, I want you to talk about it. Tell them about it. Because those are the things that have placed you above. Because they don't have it, but you have it. Think of it, brethren. Let me take for a moment, just think of it, that you have the life of God. Think of that one alone. Think of that one alone. That you have the life of who? God. Think of that alone. That Jesus lives where? The greater. Think of that. Think of that, church. Think, wake up and think, wow, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. The world doesn't have that. But you have it. I told you how I went to do retreat. And I drove from here after service. Got there 7.5 hour drive or something. It was after 10 to 11. It was raining. A whole block, I was the only person. Back. And I went into my room. They gave me a very beautiful 3-bedroom something. You know, they gave it to me free for 7 days to have my retreat. So I came in, I was so excited. I said, wow, but I was tired and hungry. But we finished service. I drove 7.5 hours. And so I was bringing out the soup my wife gave me, the beans, the abba. I was bringing them out and putting them. All of a sudden, they moved behind me. Two of them. I said, ha ha, I have company. I smiled. I said, I have company. Then I realized there were many. They moved behind me, Pierre, move this way. I didn't even look at them. It was then without them. Then I went showered, and then the devil said to me, don't turn off the light. They will come after you. I said, shut up. I reign on earth. I said, you have forgotten something. I'm not normal. Jesus is here in me. I said, I'll go to bed normally You don't dictate to me how I sleep. You are not God. Turned off the light, went to bed. And immediately I closed my eyes, I engaged them spiritually. You know your spirit is alive. Do you know that? Your spirit is always active. You didn't know that. I'm telling you now. That's why you should let the word of God, feed the word of God and grow in the spirit man. You see wonders. You can know things supernaturally without dream. No, you can know things. You can perceive things very, very easily if you are if your spirit is matured. She used to go to exams. She would see the questions before the exams and answer everything. Ask her. Regular, not once, not twice. You will know things. The Bible said the Holy Spirit was given to us, so we know things to come. You know things. How many of us? No, we don't. Now, so we go, we are at the same level of the world because we neglect this good news. And so I gave them. So I woke up about after 2 to 3 and realized they were lying on my bed. My bed was physically sinking. So I got up, I got angry. I said, "You there? Come here." I really got angry. And I rebuked, I say in Jesus' name, all of you. I said, "You get out of this house, not only this house, out of this compound as far as I'm here." I said, "I possess this land. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You have no right to be here." I said, "I run you out of this place." I said, "The boundaries of this compound, you are not here anymore. Until I leave, you can't enter this compound." I said, in Jesus' name, I put that decree and it is done. I'm a child of God. We reign on earth. Brethren, until I left, no more trouble. And the director came the following day, he and the wife. They were looking at me. They didn't know. I didn't tell them anything. They didn't even know who I was. They said, "That room, we are not anointed with oil." I said, "Really? They're wonderful." They said, "If you need counseling, can we see you?" I said, "I don't need your counseling." The whole compound, it was owned by Muslims before, and all the things they were burying there. I didn't need 2 people. You and Jesus can do anything. We don't know these things. We don't know these things. That's where faith comes. That's why faith came for me. And when they were doing that, 12 midnight, I got up and get out of here. You don't have that kind of faith unless you know and understand the good news about what God has equipped you with. Somebody shout hallelujah. Can you help me do something? Tell your neighbor and say, "I'm special, please." I want to hear you say that. I didn't hear you say that again. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But the Holy Spirit has to reveal this to you. Luke 24:44. "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." You see why the Bible said that Jesus came to fulfill the law. So when people read it, they say, Jesus came to fulfill the law. No, what he's talking about, that Jesus came to fulfill the writings of the Lord. When the word law is used, it's used the dispensation of Moses. In the time of Moses, it's called the time of the law. Jesus came to fulfill what? I didn't hear. What? The law. Remember that the law, I want to show you something, church, so you understand it very easily. Remember that the law talked about the Sabbath day, right? Did Jesus keep the Sabbath? He broke all of it. He came there and said, "You were told so, I'm telling you this now. You were told so, I'm telling you this now. You heard that it was said, I'm telling you this now." He said, "I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm God. I'm everything. I change it when I like. I change it according to my will." Come on, church. I said, come on, church. Come on, church. Yeah, they say you don't keep the Sabbath. They say I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. So I'm God. So he wasn't talking that Jesus came to fulfill the laws as such. What he's talking about is that he came to fulfill what the laws wrote, what Moses and the prophets wrote in the law about him. That's what he fulfilled.